Netflix, originally known for its movie offerings, is now trying to change the way you watch television. Its strategy is to develop new programming, like House of Cards with Kevin Spacey, which was released in January. And coming up in May, a reboot of a show that was canceled 6 years ago.
Now the story of a wealthy family who lost everything, and the one son who had no choice but to keep them all together. It's Arrested Development.
Netflix's fortunes are doing much better than those of the Bluth clan on Arrested Development. The S&P 500 yesterday reached its all-time closing high with Netflix at number one. But there's competition coming from other streaming video services like Amazon and Hulu. So how will it all play out? Willa Paskin, a TV critic for Salon, wrote about Netflix for the latest issue of Wired and joins us from New York City to talk about it. Willa, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Willa, you write that Netflix is revolutionizing television. Tell us about that revolution.
Well, actually, I think that Arrested Development and Netflix are revolutionizing television. Netflix is up to a bunch of really interesting things. They obviously are getting into original programming, and they're getting into original programming at a volume and at an expense that's, at this point, has sort of only been done on cable and regular television. You know, House of Cards looks beautiful, and they spent $100 million on it, and it basically could air on HBO. They're the first kind of web-only company that is getting into it on the level that we're all used to watching on our actual TVs. So Hulu and Amazon, which are also getting into the game, at this point, the shows don't, like, look as good, and they don't have quite the talent attached. But House of Cards, which I don't know if you've seen, you know, it was 10 episodes. You could watch them all at once, which was sort of what's really remarkable about the Netflix model, is it's sort of designed to binge watch.
Exactly, for the joy of staying up all night and going to work bleary because you watch too many in a row.
I watched it in 2 days. I watched it in like 6 hours and 4 hours, which is a little bit for my job, but also just really, really fun. It's encouraging that. But people have been doing that kind of behavior, you know, before. Like, there's that Portlandia sketch where they start watching Battlestar Galactica, and 3 days later, you know, they're still there, and they've lost their jobs, and they haven't left the house, and they haven't showered, you know, which that happened to me with Battlestar Galactica. I didn't lose my job, but, I mean, I was having dreams about it. The thing about Arrested Development that I think is really interesting and sort of why Netflix might actually be a little bit different, which is, you know, if you know you're putting all the episodes of a show on the air at once on Netflix, not even on the air, you know, on your computer at once, why do they have to be half an hour? Why do they have to be an hour? Why can't they be different sizes? You know, why do you have to watch them in a set order?
And you also say that sort of the running jokes and the inside jokes that might sort of fade from memory week to week, suddenly you get them much more when you're watching things back to back.
Oh, absolutely. And I actually just watched the first 4 episodes of the new season of Game of Thrones, which is HBO's show. And it almost seemed to me crazy that I was going to have to wait a week between each episode because there's all these new characters. It's, you know, they're all sort of wearing dark, furry clothes. It's kind of hard to tell them apart. And if you watch them all 4 at once, you're like, oh, okay, I remember this person. But that even that space, you know, certainly from last season, I didn't remember things. And Arrested Development is a, you know, it's a very complex show. That was always the point. I had spoken to Mitch Hurwitz, and he was constantly talking about he intentionally was having layers and layers of jokes, killing himself through these layers that he didn't even think, you know, that necessarily the audience quite understood, but it's sort of why it's so fun to watch over and over. But if you're checking in every 4th episode or you're taking a year between them, that stuff, it doesn't scan.
So if this is how people are being conditioned to watch, what does that do to traditional television?
What's interesting is this isn't going to happen very quickly because Americans really, we love television, but at some point in the not so distant future, a lot of networks will offer their show from the network through the internet or through our televisions that come in these huge, huge chunks.
So you write that over the next 3 years, Netflix plans to invest about $300 million in original programming, a good chunk of money. Why do they want to move in that direction?
Basically, if you look at what has been successful for existing cable and television companies, making new programs that people want to talk about and that people want to watch is one of the most surefire ways to attract subscribers and keep them. So something like HBO or Showtime or FX or AMC, which are all old school cable and television networks, set the model that Netflix is following, right? First, they aired movies. Then they aired sort of better movies, and they kind of dipped their toe into original programming. You know, they made lesser shows, and then they started to get into really serious original programming. And all of their subscriber bases for the pay cable stations went up. And in the case of Mad Men, for example, it like made AMC and Mad Men and Breaking Bad made AMC a place we think of for going for television, which it wasn't at all before. You know, it used to be the American Movie Classics. You know, Netflix is doing that, right? First, they showed us movies and they got a huge amount of television. People stream more television on Netflix at this point than they do movies.
But what's also interesting about that is you mentioned that the streaming, although it's becoming more popular and Netflix is really focusing on it, it's not much of a moneymaker right now, at least compared to mailing out DVDs.
That's absolutely right. And part of the reason for that is because every time you stream, they have to renegotiate licensing deals with the people that provide that content. And the DVD stuff, like the cost to get it from the studios, was set. They all have an agreement about the price of that stuff. So it's very stable. Stamps cost a certain amount and sometimes they go up, but that's also very stable. And every deal that they cut with a studio to stream is a negotiation. And there's a huge amount of other people that are now increasingly in the market for buying streaming stuff, you know, not just Hulu and Amazon, but, you know, Apple. There's a lot of competition and that can up the prices. So the prices for the streaming stuff keeps going up and it's very volatile, which is sort of part of the reason the margin of profit on the streaming stuff isn't where it would be for, isn't where it will be for DVD or isn't where it was DVD right now.
But it's still viewed as the future.
Yeah, because, you know, DVDs aren't going to exist. That's just it. It's not like a question of if.
Now, Amazon Studios, one of the competitors to Netflix, has taken a different approach. A couple years back, it announced it would crowdsource TV and movie development. And one of its first series in development is a comedy called Doomsday. It's this mockumentary about people preparing for the end of the world. And here's a clip with one of the characters who's shown target shooting in between scenes of talking to the camera.
They say what gets you is not the elements, but it's cabin fever. That's why I prepared conversations with myself on here so I have someone to talk to at all times. Cabin fever isn't going to get me. Hey, you see any good movies lately?
Yeah, Rocky III, it was awesome.
Okay, so that was a character talking into a tape recorder. And Willa, Doomsday is still in production. That was just a promo clip. But when we went to the website, it said only about 30 other people had watched them so far. Do you think that Amazon's strategy is taking hold?
Amazon, obviously, is a huge company with really deep pockets. So everyone expects that it's going to be a very serious rival to Netflix. You know, they started Amazon Prime, which is also a video streaming service. So Amazon has these really deep pockets. I suspect that they will be a rival to Netflix at some point, but Netflix definitely has a head start, and it remains to be seen just what the projects are going to look like and how good they'll be.
Willa Paskin is Salon's TV critic, and she wrote about this new online age of television in the latest issue of Wired. Willa, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for talking to me.
What do you think of this new TV-focused strategy at Netflix? Tell us if you've spent an entire weekend binge-watching a new series. Go to hearandnow.org and let us know what you've watched and how much you've watched. And before we go today, some big news about our program. Plus, we'll preview the baseball season. You're listening to Here and Now.